Okay, Rabbi, say good evening. Okay, Rabbi, say this evening we're going to discuss, Mitzvah Hashem, some inyonim about Kiddush, the Friday night Kiddush. Some interesting halachas that are come up every week that I think we should spend some time focusing on a little better to understand some of the issues that come up on a Friday night. So we'll start off, even before we get to the Kiddush, we're going to start discussing a topic that we're all familiar with, but we'll see that there's a little bit of a little bit more lumdus, so to say, behind it, and some halachic shalos that come up. We all know, and we were educated as small children, that we cover the challah at Kiddush. Everyone knows they cover the challah. It's halach and Shulchan Aruch, number one, Simireish Ayin Aleph Sif Tes. Again, Simireish Ayin Aleph is the simon in Shulchan Aruch that predominantly discusses how to make Kiddush. Simir Reish Ayin Beis discusses what type of wine to use. Simir Reish Ayin Gimel talks about Shinui Mokim. But Simir Reish Ayin Aleph is the Simir Shulchan Aruch in the Chelek Beis of Mishnah Berurah that describes the basic, the how-to of Kiddush. So the Shulchan Aruch writes over there, Tzorah Shetei Mapa Al HaSholchan Tachas HaPas. You have to have a mapa. You have to have some form of a towel under the bread. U'mapa Acher is Prusa Al Gabov. And you have to have another towel or covering on top of it. This is the concept that we know of that our challah is supposed to be covered. But if you look carefully, it says in Shulchan Aruch it's supposed to be covered on top and on bottom, which means that there's a cover underneath the challah, some form of a cover, and then there's a cover on top of the challah. Now, the cover on top of the challah that most of us are familiar with, that's the challah cover. I think we all have seen that. We're all familiar with that. What exactly is the cover under the challah? We'll see in a second what that means. But this is what it says in Shulchan Aruch over here, that you need to have these two coverings. Why exactly do you have to have the challahs covered? So if you look at the Mishnah Berurah, Mishnah Berurah quotes us from the Torah. The Torah quotes two famous reasons. Mishnah Berurah quotes it over number two. The Torah, B'shem Yerushalmi, Shulayira ha'pas boishta. The first reason, this is what they tell us in kindergarten and elementary school, is because you don't want the bread to be embarrassed. Why would the bread be embarrassed? Mishnah Berurah explains, She'im ikach and olavel ayayim, because really, in the hierarchy of things, bread is usually more chashiv than wine. It has kedima in other places. And why doesn't it have kedima over here? Because yayin has kedima, and therefore not to insult the bread, we cover it. So Mishnah Berurah points out, so what would happen if you're making kiddush on the bread? Which used to be very popular in Europe before the war. Before the Holocaust, they say the Chafetz Chaim used to do this quite often. Many people did not have wine. Wine was very expensive in Europe. Many people did not have wine. And therefore, they were, at least on Friday night, they had no option. They didn't do Chamar Medina, so they used to make Kiddush, Al Challah. So that was a very, very popular procedure. Today, it's almost unheard of for us. Today, you buy a bottle of Kedem for $5. You don't think twice about it. You buy grape juice. You buy, today we take all this for granted that it was even once an issue. But there was a time in history where getting wine was not simple. And it was common practice to make Kiddush, Al Pas. So it says in Mishnah Berurah, if you're going to make Kiddush al-Pas, there's no reason to, you're not insulting the bread. The bread's good for going to be the Kiddush. So then, l'fizeh mikadosh al-Pas, ain't tzarich l'chasas alav mapa. They don't have to cover it. But there's another reason. So that's reason number one, is somehow it's an insult to the challah, and somehow you cover the challah. The challah doesn't see. Again, it's hard to know what this all means. The challah has emotions and the challah has feelings, but if you cover the challah during Kiddush, this way the challah doesn't realize that it's being passed over. Now, also the chayra, we'll see in a second, Mishnah Berurah out. If that's the reason, then there's no reason why after Kiddush is over, you have to keep the challahs covered. Right? The chayra, the fizeh, after Kiddush is over, and now the challah survived its embarrassment, so now you can uncover the challah. There's no reason why it has to be covered when you make the bracha. But there's another reason, says Mishnah Berurah. There's another reason to why we cover the challahs, and it has nothing to do with the Kiddush. That is to remind us of the month. What does it mean to remind us of the man? Munach b'kufsa, talamat of a talamat. Because when the man used to fall, it fell like a sandwich. There was a layer of dew on top of the man and a layer under it. So it was like sandwiched between two covers. So memela. So therefore, that's the second reason. So says Mishnah Berurah. What second? Memela gami mekadosh al pasach l'chasas mapa. If that's the reason, then it has nothing to do with kiddush. It has nothing to do with embarrassment. So even if you're going to make kiddush al pas, you should also have to cover it. And that's the practice. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Mashma Bepriya Godim, Shalachol Hatam, Kedai Bimikadish Alayayin, He says, first of all, how long do you have to keep the challah covered for? So if it has to do with the Kiddush, I understand. So after Kiddush, you can uncover. And what about the reason of the mon? How long do you have to keep it covered for? So Mr. Brewer says from the Prima God, the Mitzvah, but that after Kiddush, according to both reasons, you can take it off. So the Mishnah Berurah seems to say that strictly speaking, he thinks that you don't need to cover it after Kiddush is over. Once Kiddush is over, you're ready, you can move on. Both pshatim. But then he concludes, quotes from the Chayodim thinks otherwise. He says that if he thinks the reason for why we covered is Zeichel Amon, again, if the reason why we covered is so the bread shouldn't be insulted, that it was passed over for Kiddush, so then it's Pashat. After Kiddush, you don't have to cover it anymore. There's no more embarrassment. But if you have the Zeichel Amon, so it's not clear how long do we commemorate Zeichel Amon, so the Prima Gadim thinks that after Kiddush, you could also uncover the Chalos. But Chayodim says the minig is to keep it covered until after Hamaitzi, which I think is the practice in most Jewish homes. We keep the Chalos covered until after Hamaitzi, even though one could argue that perhaps after Kiddush, it no longer needs to be covered. Now we'll see in a second there's another reason why we cover the challahs, but before that, I just want to point out from Reb Nissen Karelitz, Zatzal in the Sefer Chotshani, and I saw this also in Reb Simcha Bonim Cohen's book, you don't see that many people have a cover underneath their challah. You go to most people's homes, everyone has a challah cover, that's practiced in all Jewish homes, but if you look under the challah, you wouldn't necessarily find another covering under the challah. But doesn't it sound like in Shulchan Aruch he's supposed to have another mapa tachas, he's supposed to have some form of a covering? So he writes, he says, no, the tablecloth. Every table has a tablecloth. So again, if you have a challah board, so maybe that challah board is a cover, but let's say you put it proper on the table. So the table, the covering of the table is the mappa. That's good enough. You don't need to have another special mappa under the challah to fulfill this. So that's why most of us don't have a special, tablecloth. We don't have a special challah cover under the cover. We have a challah cover on top of the challahs, even though it says in the Shulchan Aruch supposed to have on top and bottom, but our bottom is automatically covered by whatever's going on the table. There's a third reason brought down, Mr. Brewer brings it down later on, not over here, about why we cover the challah. So he writes over number three, L'chasa is ha'pas ar'achar ha'kiddush, again, until after kiddush, v'achakach yasiren, and then you remove it, ki heichid t'tisroi, t'ose ha'suta hashta likra d'shabbos. You want to show that this meal is for Shabbos. So how do you show that? You keep it covered until you have to make kiddush, and then you say, voila! This is our Shabbos meal. It's called Yikra de Shabbos. It's the value of Shabbos. So that's another reason why we cover the challahs. We cover the challahs to show and to give over the message that these challahs are for Shabbos. This whole Suda is for Shabbos. So there are many nafkiminas la halacha, practically, based on, we'll work predominantly with the two reasons of the Yerushalmi to why we cover the challah. And there's numerous nafkiminas. The first nafkimina would be, do you have to cover the challahs by Shalosh Shodos? Why? If the reason why we cover the challah is like the first reason, shalaya hapas boishto is a bread shouldn't be embarrassed. Well, by shalosh shodos we don't make kiddush. So if we don't make kiddush by shalosh shodos, then there's no reason why the bread will get embarrassed. So if there's no reason for the bread to get embarrassed, there's no reason to cover the challah. But if the reason we cover the challah has something to do with zeichel lemon, and that's why we have lechem mishnah, so we have lechem mishnah by shalosh shodos also. So lechayr lefize you should have to cover them by shalosh shodos. What's the practice by Shalosh Shodos? If you look in the Aruch HaShulchan number 4, he writes, he says, "Ve'ein darkein lechases hapas b'suda shlishis." It's not our practice, at least in the Vardik, it wasn't practice to cover the challahs by Shalosh Shodos. And then in another shtickel Aruch HaShulchan, he writes number 5, he says, "Ach onu toifsim le'ikar tam boishis." Says the Aruch HaShulchan, we believe that the real reason why we cover the challah is because the bread shouldn't be embarrassed. V'raya, says the Aruch HaShulchan, how do I know this? Because the besuda shlishis, he says, I'll prove it to you because we don't cover the bread by shalosh shodos. The only reason why you don't cover the bread by shalosh shodos is not because it's not zeichel lemon. Zeichel lemon is by all three of the meals. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, my raya, that the main reason why we cover the challahs is busha, is from the fact that we don't cover them by shalosh shodos. So it's very clear from the Aruch HaShulchan two things. First of all, he's machriya. He picks sides in this discussion of why exactly we cover the challahs, but he tells us what practiced, and this is, I think, widely practiced in many communities, is we don't cover the challahs by shalosh shodos because there's no cheshbon of the bread being insulted. Nonetheless, if you look in the Kaf HaChaim, number 6, the Kaf HaChaim does write, v'chein besud, he talks about covering the challah, he writes, v'chein besud de shachris, u mincha. What's sudas mincha? Presumably shalosh shodos. Yaniach mapa tachas amapa umapa al gabov. So at least now Kav HaChaim records that they would cover the chalas by shalosh odos. Also, if you just take a look at number 7 in the Sefer Orchas Rabbeinu, where he records different customs from the stipler, he writes, Ma'ivi Rebbe is referring to the stipler. Mechazes alecha mishnah b'chol sholosh asudas. The stipler used to cover the chalas by all 3 meals. Keep them covered until after Brechas Hamoitzi. However, Maran Chazanish, but the Chazanish loy kisa besuda shlishes kishav berchalim. He did not cover them by shalosh shodes. So there were those that did cover the challah by shalosh shodes, but I think the overwhelming majority of poiskim in practice today don't cover by shalosh shodes. And the Aruch HaShulchan is saying that that's because we're picking sides, and we're saying that the real reason why we cover the challah is because of the embarrassment of the challah, and by shalosh shodes that is not relevant. So that's one shaila about whether or not.
How can we not say that if you have a mezainis?
We do. We're gonna get there in a second.
Oh, we do.
You mean like Shabbos day?
Oh, I didn't know we did.
You mean like Shabbos day?
No, on a regular table, if you have the mizonos and an apple, why you should cover the mizonos if you're not gonna.
No, because
we're forced, you always have to.
Exactly, right. I thought you were relating to the fact is what happens at Shabbos day. Why don't you have to cover the cake at the table? So the answer is you do. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Now, if you look in the Deber Tzina Rav, the Be'er Moshe, he writes something interesting. He writes, V'derech Agav, on a side note, he says, Mitam zera alai hamaise sha'ata mikarav oisech hadoshes enigenu. He says, I see this new movement taking place. Lifroish mapet savua. People use colored. Mikol minei tzavua im ala shulchan. People use tablecloths from all different colors. And sometimes the upper covering is colored. They like to do new things. He thinks it's wrong. He discusses that he thinks it's not right to have a tablecloth or perhaps a challah covering from any other color than white. Why? Because the dew was white. So if you're going to commemorate that the mon had tal lamala but tal lamata, so then the covering lamala lamata has to be white. This is gam mitam zeh chidushe be'einei shekam ba'artos habris, chayim be'artos habris, oisin kisei chalos, they make a challah covering, b'mari shirin, from different colors. V'chinoisin be'artos habris, tavla im sakin l'tzoyach ha'beiz lachem, they make a challah board. V'ha'beiz lachem menichem ala tavla, kishim chatchan alecha mishno, la yikru ha'mapa. They don't want to cut the cloth. And the plaque where you cut the board, it's also painted in many colors. So the Deber Tzina Rav was very against A, having a tablecloth that's white, because that's not white, because the tablecloth is the mapa lamata. And he says that many people have a challah board or even a challah covering that's also not white. He thought if you go with the reason of the Yushalmi, the second reason, that it has to be to remember the mon, so it's tal lamala v'tal lamata, so it has to be the exact same cover. So if it has to be, like the tal was dew is white, so the covering has to be white. I think other Achrayim disagree. They say it doesn't have to go that far. You know, it doesn't have to mamish be, you know, like dew. It has to just be a covering. So whatever covers it. But the Deber Tzina Rav was frustrated by the notion that we use other things to cover the challah. If you look in the Chutshani of Nissen Karel, points out another simple nafkamina. He says, let's say you want to cover it with nylon. So he says, it depends. Im hatam lekise hu mishum zeich lamon havinam kise. So it should be covered with anything. Right? I know some Achrayim talk about, let's say you want to cover the challahs with the bag that they come in the bakery. Right, you go, let's say you go, you buy, today you go buy challah and they put the challah in a bag. Plastic bag. Is that considered a covering? So they want to tie in. It's totally the two reasons of the Yushalmi. If it's a covering, so it's a covering. It's fart covered. He says, if you're going to use a clear through, you're going to use a see-through challah cover. So if you're going to use a see-through challah cover, of course it's a covering, but if the whole reason is the bread shouldn't see what's going on, so the bread can see it because it's see-through. So Zokta Misen Karelatz, that's another nafkamina. Another nafkamina between the two reasons given to us in the Yushalmi is, can you use a see-through challah cover? If it has to do with the pas seeing it, so the pas sees it, the pas can see through clear plastic. So if you're going to use the clear plastic bag that they give you in the bakery, according to the reason of Poishes, it wouldn't work. However, Shlomo Zalman disagrees. Shlomo Zalman is quoted in number 10 in Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, where he writes, "V'shamati ma'agayin of Shlomo Zalman Orbach Shlita, the gam mape shakufa b'shem kis shakufoi b'shem kisoy nikras." He says, even if it's taka see-through, and you can taka see-through, it's still considered a cover. Ve'im b'zech sha shapaz ve'i boishtei. He thinks, not like Rav Nissen Karelitz. He thinks as long as it's covered, it's covered. Even though it's see-through covering is also covering. Okay? So according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, the see-through covering is also covering, no matter which pshat you go like. While according to Rav Nissen Karelitz, it might be totally in which pshat you go with in the Yerushalmi. And according to the Aruch HaShulchan, the Ikar pshat is the pshat of Boishas. So if the Ikar pshat is Boishas, so then you might not want to use a clear see-through plastic, because according to some Achronim, that's not a fulfillment of covering the Chal. Okay, that's about covering the Chal. So it's interesting, when I got engaged, so...
Hi,
yeah. Yeah, Moshe.
I might have missed this, but would it be better? Maybe it's better to bring out challah after you walk.
We're gonna get to Moshe. Very good. We're gonna talk about that in a few minutes. We'll see some machlokes achronim. Yeah, Blinez. We'll get to that in a few minutes, a little later this evening. It's interesting, when I got engaged, so my father-in-law offered to get me an atar on my talus. I didn't want an atar on my talus because that's a shift for a different time. But then you need an atar on your talus. So instead of an atar, I got a challah cover. So I always call my challah cover my atar. Which is not so far off, maybe. But I have a challah cover as an atar also. So that's my challah cover that I use at home. But in any case, there's different reasons amongst the poskim to why we cover the challah, how long to cover the challah, and things like that. What is interesting is what about covering the mezonos? Let's say, for example, in many homes, in many places, hopefully we'll get back to having kiddushim in shul soon. Right? You have a kiddush. So you have kiddush in shul, and you have cakes and cookies. Do you have to cover the cakes and cookies at the table? So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes number 11. But this is actually, it's interesting. This Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is not in Hilchas Shabbos. It's actually in Hilchas Brachas. So he writes in number 11. Birchas Bari Mizaynus Kedemus Gam LeBirchas Hayayin. I think this is what Rabbi was referring to. Right? Birchas Bari Mizaynus always goes before the Brach and Yayin. Umikoshken Hamoitzi. Shahi Kedemus Gam LeBirchas Bari Mizaynus. Hamoitzi always goes first. And then after Hamoitzi goes Mizaynus, and then goes Yayin. Ulechein says the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch Lechein Shabbos Yom Tov Kish Mekadosh Al Yayin. So if you're going to make Kiddush on Shabbos and Yom Tov on wine, Tzarich Lechas is a pas. You got to cover the bread Shle Yer Boishtoi. So it shouldn't be embarrassed. Shemakdim and Loi Berchas Yayin. You don't want the bread to feel like it's getting gypped, that you're going out of order. Vechein B'Shachris Shemekadosh Va'Oichel Achakach Minim Mezaynus says the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch. And same thing in the morning when you're going to make Kiddush, you're going to eat cookies and cake. Tzarich Lechas Oisam B'Shas Kiddush. You have to cover them also. So tying to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch that you have to cover the mezainis also. It's not so practiced. You don't see this so often. But more correct to be that you should cover the mezainis. So let's say, for example, in your house, you're going to have many people do this. And I think it's questionable from a Baruch Hashem Tzvicha issue. Many people have a minug that they wash. I'm sorry, that they make Kiddush. And then they have herring with cookies and crackers. And then they go ben. And then they first go wash after that. I think it might be a chesidah sheminig, I'm not sure. So then, in that case, where you're going to have the crackers and you're going to have the kichel on the table, or at a kiddush and shul, you should really try to cover. Now, we'll see in a second, the big machloikis is, what happens if I have to cover all the cookies and cakes on the table, or I only have to cover the cookies and cake in front of me? Or let's say, for example, the big shayla that comes up, let's say you make a simcha. So the person makes a simcha, he makes a afruf, and he has people at the Shabbos meal. So he's going to have, everyone has a challah roll at their seat. Does everyone in front of them have to cover the challah roll, even if they're hearing kiddush from only one person? So if I'm making my own kiddush, so I cover my two challah rolls. But what happens if one person is making kiddush for the whole room, and there's 20 people in the table, and everyone has their own challah roll there, do I have to cover mine also? So the same shayla would be with the mezainis. But l'chayru, if you're going to make kiddush at a kiddush, and you have a piece of cake on your plate that you plan on eating, strictly speaking, it sounds like you're supposed to cover it. Not so many people do it, but it sounds like that's the right thing to do. So if you look in the stipler of Orchas Rabbeinu, he quotes again from the stipler, Ma'ivi Rebbe, my Rebbe the stipler, Keshe Mekadosh Baboiker, HaMezoinu Shalal Shulcha Mechasem Rak B'Shikyas Nailan Shkufa V'Leimak B'Lachasoysen Bo'id Mape. He says that in the morning, when they'd make Kiddush and there were Mezoinus on the table, so then he'd cover it with a see-through, but he wasn't Makbid that they, with another one. V'Loi They used to have like some form of cover over it, but he didn't go crazy with the covering when it came to the Mezainah Shabbos morning. And then they quote from Rav Shlomo Zalman, even a bigger Chiddush, number 13. They write umotzei hadava bekiddush orchem beveis haknesset b'shabbos berkach tefillah. Very common when you make a kiddush in shul Shabbos morning. Umini mezayis menochem al shulchan, and you have the different cookies and cakes on the table. Sheish lachasoisim, you should cover them. Now again, according to the stipler, what it sounds like he used to do is like, you know, like when you get the when you get like a platter of cake from the caterer, so it's like a thin plastic that goes over to keep the cake from say from coming stale. So it sounds like that plastic would be considered a kisui, even though it's see through. But the stipler was mako for Shabbos morning, so maybe that would be the best idea if you're going to have a kiddush. So when they serve the cake, so don't take that plastic off yet until after kiddush. But if Shem Zalman is going to say a bigger kiddush, if Shem Zalman is going to say. Says Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, let's say you're in shul, the rabbi makes kiddush in shul, and there's a huge room, and the rabbi's all the way in the left corner, and because you're so careful about germs, you're not drinking from the rabbi's mouth, and you have absolutely no intention of drinking the yain. You're not drinking the yain. You just heard kiddush, and now you can eat your cake. Zokta Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, in such a case, in chayv l'chas, it says a mezayin shalai. You don't have to cover your own mezayinus. The imitam shliyah pas bush. He says, "Let's work it out." Says Rabbi Shlomo. If the cheshbon has to do with the fact that the bread's going to be insulted, zerach sheich rach mevarach l'shoyis. That's only if either I make the kiddush or I drink from the kiddush. I don't do the kiddush. I wasn't involved in the kiddush. So why was my challah? Why was my you know? Why would my piece of cake be insulted? I didn't opt to do anything else over my piece of cake. He made kiddush and he drank. So if I drink from the yain, says Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, so that's like me, you know, picking the wine over my cake. But I didn't drink the wine. I didn't even do with the wine. So then he writes, what about the other svar about being damit to the mon? That's not like the kitzah shulchan aruch, but okay. Then he says another chiddush, that the third reason that we saw in the Mishnah Berurah to why we cover the challah is to show chashivas to the meal. He thinks that's only at night, not during the day. So Rav Zalman has a gevaldik akula, which I guess many of us probably keep not knowing that Rav Zalman said it. Is let's say, for example, you're at a kiddush in shul, and the rabbi makes kiddush, and you have no intention of chasing down the rabbi to drink from the kashal bracha, even though. I don't know if we'll have time to talk about it, but we need to talk about it, that there's a big inyan to drink from a kashal bracha. But it says in Shem Zalman, in that case, you don't have to cover your own piece of cake. You'd only have to cover your cake either if you're making kiddush yourself, or you intend to drink from the mekadesh. That was the opinion of Shem Zalman. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a famous tshuva in Igros Moshe, it's in the Chelek Hei. Rav Moshe discusses the child that I mentioned to you earlier. This is always like the big scramble when you go to a family simcha. And this is always how you can tell who's who in the family. There's always that one guy who goes around covering everyone's challahs. Then the other guy goes around uncovering everyone's challahs. So then you know, okay, who's the nunnik in the family? And who's the you know, this is how you learn about, you know, especially it's like an offer for a Shabbat Shevroch, where the two families combine that you don't know, and you get to learn about them. So you're like, okay, that guy's the nunnik, that guy's the machmir guy, I'll stay away from him, that guy's the Jacob, I'll stay away from him. Whenever I come to these events, I do nothing. I don't put I sit in my seat and I wait till I'm served and I go home. I'm not, they don't ask me, it's not my job. But, you know, there's always that one guy who, you know, feels like it's his job to go around covering all the challahs. Then the other guy who thinks the halacha is not like that, he goes and uncovers all the challahs. Okay. So what's the right thing to do? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva, an Igros Moshe. So he writes like this. You have a place where many people are eating from different tables. Can you go and be yeshiva? Let's say a classic example is in yeshiva. They're all eating in one big dining room. Each bacher has his challah rolls in front of him. But there's only one person making kiddush. Again, this is very old. Again, if you are the one making kiddush at your little table, you know, let's say, for example, you had an offer, if you had a Shabbat Shabbat brachas, so you're going to make kiddush again at your spot, so then it's partial. You should cover your two challah rolls. And Yenim doesn't have to cover his challah rolls, and you only have to cover your two challah rolls. But if I'm going to be yoytze the kiddush with the mekadesh, let's say in camp or yeshiva, maybe sometimes at a simcha like that, so one person's making kiddush for everyone, do I have to cover my challah rolls? That was the challah Rav Moshe was dealing with. Okay, so he writes, do you have to cover all the chalas on the table? Only the chalas that are opposite the actual mekadesh. This was Rav Moshe's shaila. Again, very, very common shaila when you go to a simcha, and happens almost all the time. But again, I'm just speaking this out because I think it's pashut. But if you're going to make your own kiddush, then you only have to cover your two chalas. So let's say, for example, you go to a Shabbos Shabbat Brach, so there's going to be, you know, the Bala Boss, the Bala Simcha is going to make Kiddush for everyone, but you're Makbid, you want to make your own Kiddush, which is still something we should talk about, Blined, maybe next week's year. I'd like to go one more week about Kiddush. I know it's already a couple of weeks already, but I think it's important. You know, the pros and cons of multiple Kiddushim. Right, many families have a minute that everyone at the table makes Kiddush. Many families have a minute only one person makes Kiddush. What's the pros and cons of each? We'll talk about that Blin Eder next week. But let's say, for example, you're going to make your own Kiddush for your family at your table, so then you cover your chalitz. But let's say, for example, there's not enough wine to go around. There's only very often, again, I know it sounds funny, but sometimes there's not enough bechers to go around. There's only one becher, and you don't want to wait, you know, till you get the turn. So you just make Kiddush from the Bala Boss. So whose chalitz have to be covered? So Rav Moshe writes this. Hine. You got to cover all of them. Now again, we saw from Reb Shlomo Zalman that if you don't intend to, Reb Shlomo Zalman is not 100% mochach, but Reb Shlomo Zalman definitely held that if you don't intend to drink from the mikdash, there's much more room to be mekel. And then Reb Moshe speaks there. Reb Moshe explains. He says why? So he says, let's go with the reason of the Yerushalmi that because it was sandwiched between two levels of tal malmal tal matar shu tam ayish beforshim tayz mask shein in psachim. Okay. He says, if that's the reason, that means every challah is lecha mishnah. Every lecha mishnah should be considered talamal v'talamata. So then it should be covered. And don't do it to Kiddush. Now, Ella Zakhtar Moshe, Ella Af Latama Shiltas, Betaisis Rashbam. The taste of the liquid of Shabbos. What about the svar of liquid of Shabbos? Nami okay. The liquid of Shabbos, the galus of Alechem, Rakish Roshayim, Svichim, Svichim, Oitel Ocho. Right? For kids, those are my shifts. The reason is you're trying to show that this is what I'm eating, so you keep it closed until you open it up after you wash. So he says, what about the last reason? He writes over here, in the next page, Dr. Moshe, just pull it up. So Dr. Moshe, what about the last reason? He says, the last reason I'm not so sure about. He says, the last reason we can debate. Why? Because what's the last reason so the pas shouldn't be insulted that you didn't make kiddush on it? So your moshe, well, that may be. So your pas moshe shem kashan of elayin became a shem also kiddush, but I didn't make kiddush over here. So why is the bread in front of me going to be insulted? Eliyotzmi shekiddush al shochanach. I'm using someone else's kiddush. Loi nika kol kach hashar al shochanach made the kiddush. Since it's not recognizable, imi kiddush al shalayin al pas. Avam estavet the gamzeh nechshav hekers. Dr. Moshe, that's also recognizable. And therefore, Ramosha comes out at the end of the tshuva, he thinks all three reasons apply. Paskas Ramosha, Allah, Lamaisa, you got to cover all the chalas that are at the simcha. That's Ramosha's psak. If you look over here, number 15, in the Kovitz Halachas from Shmuel Kamenetsky, he says not like that. He writes, Kishasodim harbe bin eldim amokam mechal al kamar shachonis, viyotzim de kiddish ma'acher. Again, you're going to hear one big kiddush, and then everyone's going to eat their own lechem mishnah. Noyegim shemechasim rak hapash lefnei amikadosh bilvad. He passes. Rishon Kamenetsky passes. You only have to cover the bread in front. So what is machlokes achronim? Rav Moshe held you have to cover everything. We're over here. We're seeing Rishon Kamenetsky holds you only have to cover the bread in front of the mikadosh. They quote b'shem Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Reb Ephraim Gribal has a tshuva where he writes from his friend Reb Chaim Kanievsky that since we have the rule of shemeya koine. He says that even if I'm hearing Kiddush from someone else, since there's a principle called Shemei Ka'ine, as if I'm saying Kiddush, and if it's like I'm saying Kiddush, so therefore the bread's going to be insulted, therefore you have to cover. So again, many Achreinim, or we've seen at least two Achreinim that hold you have to cover the Chalas, even if you're not the one making Kiddush, while Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky seems to be more make. Now just an interesting idea that I saw in the Sefer Hilcha Shabbos B'Shabbos, from Rav Moshe Karp in Eretz Yisrael, he writes an interesting psak from Rabbi Yashiv. He writes, "V'shemati me'agrein v'yisiv shom l'yashiv shlita, de'me'ikir adin yesh levarach ala pas m'gul of loy m'chusim." Right? We spoke about this a little bit in the Mishnah Berurah. Chayodim says that he's supposed to keep the bread covered until after the brichas ha'moitzi. Right? Obviously. But he writes over here not like that. He says that you can make the bracha when it's opened. K'moy shehu l'chol shar ha'tam m'va poiskim. U'mitam zeichel mansag ma'ashim m'gal ha'pas k'ayd ha'moitzi. He says, why do you have to keep it until ha'moitzi? Again, if it has to do with the bread being insulted, so after you make Kiddush, there's no cheshbon. What about the second reason of Zechelman? I already made a Zechelman. I got to make a Zechelman a whole afternoon. I made Zechelman. I covered it before. He says, you don't have to make the bracha when it's covered. Right? But what do some people do? Many people have the chalas under the board, and they make it the bracha, it's still covered, then they take it off, and then they cut it. Rabbi Yashiv thought not like that. Rabbi Yashiv thought that that once you get to Birchas HaMoitzi, you take it off and you make the bracha with them uncovered. He writes, and he quotes over here from the Sefer Leket Yosef from the Minhagim of the Trumas Hadeshin, where he writes, "Habachurim ein lehem mapa alechem shalhem, v'chein chastis ein tzach mapa lifresh akol alechem raklif nei misha asa kiddush." So again, only the one who makes kiddush. So here, about boish to mistamim misha lemivarech ein oisei boish lepas, v'koshke in the shara tamim duhuche. He says again, same svar, that you don't have to cover all the breads, only in front of the Mekadosh. V'shemati magvei v'shemesh v'shita shekem estava v'nochal amais. That was also the opinion of Rabbi Liash. Okay? So it is a machloikis achroinim, yesh al milismoich both ways, about how long to cover the bread for. Now, just to point out what Moshi was referring to before, there's an interesting aruch ha-shulchan over here. Meaning, if the whole reason why we want the bread covered is so the bread shouldn't be embarrassed, shouldn't it just make more sense not to have the bread on the table? Have the bread in the kitchen, and then I'll bring the bread to the table afterwards. So the aruch ha-shulchan discusses this issue. So the aruch ha-shulchan writes in this number 18, he says, you have to have a covering under the on the table under the bread, and then another covering over the bread. This is the practice in all of Klal Yisrael to have a challah cover. And we prepare this on Erev Shabbos. Again, the times of the Gemara, they used to eat on individual tables. Right, you learn Pesachim, it's very clear like this, parts of Brachas, that everyone had their own little table. Today we have a big dining room table, Baruch Hashem, you know, 100 to who knows how many inches they are, we have these beautiful, beautiful dining room tables. But it used to be, everyone used to eat on their own little table, like Lahavda, like those little, I think they're called, you know, TV dinner tables. Right? A little table, everyone had their own little table. So he writes, so back then everyone had their own table. They didn't have like we do, so they'd have the kiddush, and then afterward they'd bring out the bread. They didn't have to cover the bread. Why? Because the bread wasn't around. Now we have a table. And the chalos have to be there. Because we want to have kiddush b'makom suda. Shezeh yikra de shabbos. Not the kiddush b'makom suda, but we want to have the bread at the kiddush. So then, the hechrich l'sho losam al chala mapo. Memela, I mean, he understands that the whole din of covering the chala was only after the chala started being at the table. When the chalas used to be off on another table, there was no need to cover them; they weren't there. But now that the chalas are on the table, now we got to cover them. So he writes over here. Now we cover them. Again, he thinks after kiddush you can cover. Until after brichas amoitzi, v'chein haminug. Right, so that's the practice. The yeshem evin achalas la'achah kiddush, and those people who bring the chalas in afterwards. V'zeh enei maspik. He thinks that's not right. Rachel tam shle yirapas boishte. He thinks there. If you don't have the chalas on the table, you don't have a problem of boishes. But v'ein nochem lasis ken. He thinks that's not right. He doesn't think it's right not to have the chalas on the table. The chalas should be on the table when you make kiddush. And a lot of people don't realize this; they forget. Especially many people have the chalas on the oven getting hot. You should have the chalas on the table when you make the kiddush, and they should be covered. However, the Vilna Gaon held not like that. Any Gronik follows a different practice. So you look at the Maaser Rav, he writes, "Bishas kiddush al yain lo yeh halechem al hashulchan." The bread's not on the table. Bread's not on the table. You don't have an issue. But I think most of Klal Yisrael does not follow this Vilna Gaon, except those who follow Groniks. But more practice, I think, is like the Aruch Hashulchan, that the challah is under the table and the challah is covered on the table. Okay, let's talk a little bit about some of the, I guess we'll call it the physical procedure of the kiddush. So you look in Shulchan Aruch in number 20, it's in the Kuf Pei Gimel. Now we spoke last week that there's an entire siman in Shulchan Aruch devoted to how to make a bracha on a kashal bracha. And we mentioned last week that kiddush is considered a kashal bracha. We also discussed last week, it's not so partial if all the same rules apply to kiddush v'avdala, or only some of them. So here, over here, by kashal bracha, Shulchan Aruch writes like this. Mikabel b'shtei yodav. You're supposed to take it with two hands. You start it with two hands. But when you start the bracha, you put it then in your right hand. You should not have your left hand helping out at all. You shouldn't have like, you know, your left hand helping. It should be completely right hand. You start off with two, switch to one. The second hand shouldn't touch the cup. If you go like this, fine. You're supposed to lift it off the ground at tefach. That's if you're sitting on the floor. If you're sitting at a table, you have to lift it off the table at tefach. And you're supposed to look at it. Shalayasiach daiti, so you don't forget, take your mind off of it. We'll talk Bli Neder more about that halacha a little bit. Then he writes, Umishagri le'ishtein, you're supposed to send it to your wife, shetish temena, she should drink from it also. Fine. Now, what I want to get to is like this. How many people are mekabel b'shtei yod when they make kiddush? Have you ever been to like shalshulis and shul? So you'll see many people are very makbid there. Whoever benches on the kais, they give him it with two hands, and this way they're fulfilling the din of mekabel b'shtei yod. Now, why don't we do that by kiddush? Most people by kiddush they don't start like this. They don't take it with two hands and then switch to one. They pick up the bechel like this. So if you look over in the Shulchan Aruch Harav, in Hilchas Kiddush, he writes, Koishal Kiddush, Bein Shal Laila, Bein Shal Yom, Bein Shal Abdallah, Ta'on Kol Adram, Sh'ta'on Koishal Brechas Amazin. You got to have all the rules, which are, Shiyah Shalim, Shiyah Shtefenu, B'vachot, we talked about that last week. And then he writes, V'yikablenu B'shtei Yodav. He's supposed to pick it up with two hands, V'yachzenu B'yamin Olvad, and then you put it in your right hand. So the right way is to take the Becher, pick it up with two hands, then you switch it to your right hand. How many people do that? Probably not so many. But it's more than that. If you look in the Sefer Dachi Chaim Rishon from the Munkat Shereba, he writes, not only do you take it in two hands, but someone gives it to you also. Someone gives it to you in a respectable way, and then you take it from them. So he writes over here, he writes, you take it with two hands. Even the girl, his daughter used to give it to him. He just needed someone to give him the kais. He took it with two hands and then he switched it to the right. You want to have a nesina, a giving. The gamachtei zachal zeh. Grandchildren used to do this. Who could show you over there going to college by the akechuva and his grand when his father the akechuva b'chayim chayoyse nosan rabbeinu akoy shokidish yodayim. When and this is the munkat shereb. This is the menuchas aluza. So the menuchas aluza's father was the darki chuva, the famous commentary in Yerudea. So he writes over here that when his father was alive, he used to give it to his father b'shtei yodav. So you see, there's this hakbada about taking the kais and using two hands. But most of us don't do that today. It's not practiced. The question is why. So if you look over here, Shmuel Kamenetsky discusses this. He writes, "Mi shlita because he says you only have to do this thing about the two hands by benching. Why? Because usually you give it your mechaber a guest to bench. That's why it makes sense to take it with two hands. Because the guy who's benching is being honored by the balabais. And I give it to you. This is my way of giving you the cup. I give you the cup, you accept it, and then you bless on it. He says, who normally makes kiddush? The balabais. He says, then there's no concept of like the Daki Truva, like the Munkat Shereba, his daughter. Well, why is his daughter giving you the cup? Take the cup yourself. So if I'm being mechabed you with something, so then I give it to you and you accept. But if it's just you, so pick up the cup regularly. So he writes, that's why there's no such concept of giving the cup. He takes it. Meaning, he thinks that the idea of magbiya b'shtei yodav is only if you're getting it from someone else. There's no din that you pick it up like this. That's meaningless. If someone gives it to you, then you take it in two and hold it in one. So since, again, so I guess we're being again, let's say you go to someone's house, and the balabas is mechabed you with kiddush. So if the balabas is mechabed you with kiddush, then he should talk and give you the cup. You should take it with two hands, and then you should hold it in one hand. The Sefer Nishma Shabbos from Reb Harfenis, Asatmir Paisik, he was also asked this question. In Medina Tzarech Lekabel Koish Al Kiddush, do you have to be Mekabel the cup with two hands by Kiddush? And he writes, Medina Ein Tzarech, Avala Mekubola Mihadakein, Api Kabola, there is an Indian to do it. But again, I don't think you've seen it too many times that people do it, but that's the reason why. Now, I just want to focus on a second because I have a son who's a lefty. What hand does a lefty hold his Becher in when he makes Kiddush? So if you looked in Shulchan Aruch, we'll scroll up for a second to Halacha. Hey, the Mechaber is Yesh Mishoimer. There are those who say Shema Mevorich Iter. If the guy making the Kiddush, or again over there, he's not talking about Kiddush; he's talking about any bracha. This is true for Kiddush, Havdalah, benching Sheva brachas. You know, under a chuppah, whenever you're mechabed with a kosher bracha, Bris Mila. Yeah, I guess. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, what do you do with a lefty? So he writes, Oicheis ha-kois b'yiminoi. He holds the kois in his right hand. Shehu smol kol adam. It's everyone else's left. Meaning, he holds it in his in his right hand, which is the left of everyone else. Fine. What is it? Why? He holds it in his right hand. Says the Magen Avraham, not so fast. Right, the Magen Avraham, I got a problem. Why? Look at number 24. Number 24 is in Hilchos Lulav. In Hilchos Lulav, the Mechaber Paskins, Iter, a lefty. Which hand is a lefty holds the Lulav and Esrogin? So we know righties, we hold the Lulav in our right hand, the Esrogin in our left hand. Why? Because the Lulav has more mitzvahs than the Esrog. The Lulav has Hadassim, Aravis, and the Lulav, three. And the Esrog has only one mitzvah. So Shulchan Aruch Paskins, number 24. Hilchos Lulav, I believe it's Tuf Resh Nun Aleph, but I could be wrong. The Mechaber writes, Iter, a lefty, Noita Lulav Bimin Kolodom. He takes it in the right of all people, the esrig b'smol kol adam, and the left, meaning he goes like any other person. The baser, the alma azlinam, we go by the regular world. V'loy baser yamin u'smol didei. So the Shulchan Aruch passes that a lefty, when it comes to the lulav and esrig, he does it like everyone else. He puts the lulav in his right, his esrig in the left. His right is his weaker hand, doesn't matter. Says the Ramah, the yeshayimrim, the azlinam baser yamin didei. No. Says the Ramah, it goes based on his right and his left. The Yishlita Halulav b'yamin didei. So he should put the Lulav in his right. What's his right? His left. The Esrig b'smol didei. V'chein nohagu v'chein ikr. So the Ramah seems to paskin, and this is not even so pashut in Hilchos Lulav, but the Ramah paskins that a lefty takes the Lulav in his left hand and the Esrig in his right hand. Mechaber says no. Righties and lefties doesn't make a difference. And the Beis Yosef explains over there that righties, the svar of the Mechaber is that righties and lefties only make a difference when it comes to tefillin. Everything else, righties and lefties are the same. The only time we talk about this yad keo, this weaker hand, is only by tefillin, because they have a special drosh, or ksharitim, or ksavtim, so that's why a lefty does it differently. But every other mitzvah, righty and a lefty are the same. So if the righty... If the righty holds the becher in his right hand, so the lefty holds the becher in his right hand also. Frek the Magen Avraham, tzarechit. He has a kasha. Why? The besimin tofesh nun alaf stama rabbi says it does not bossy him in the alma. Right? The in tofesh nun alaf, what do we paskin? That a lefty holds it in his right hand. Why? Because we work with the regular. However, there's love b'min hu derabbanan v'koshkin hach dekayshal bracha ikra midrabbanan. The yeshlo leilach bossy him in the alma. So Frank the Magen Avraham, why is it not like that when it comes to kiddush? It should be like that by kiddush also. So the Magen Avraham thinks that we should take a follow like the Ramah, that a lefty should hold the becher in his left, that he should hold the becher in his left hand, and a righty should hold the becher in his right hand. So seems to paskin the Magen Avraham. Okay. If you look over here, the Shmir Shabbos Kalchasa, he writes, HaMikadosh Noitlos HaKosh B'Shtei Yodov. Again, Shmir Shabbos says you're supposed to take it with two hands. Mishum Chiv of Mitzvah, because it shows you love the Mitzvah. V'Nois Nelimina, then you put in your right hand. V'lo Yisei Yeb Esmol, don't have any help from the left. V'Iter Yad, what about a lefty? Nois Nei B'Yamin Shaloi. He puts it in his right hand. Shehi smoylo kol adam, which is everyone else's left hand. V'nochem lahamad es hakoyis al kaf yiminoi kishvay says kufoy sivivoy. We'll talk more about this in a minute. And you're supposed to have the cup on the palm and your hands surrounded like this. So you ever see people when they make a bracha, they make it like this. I'm trying to get into the video, right? Like this. And you lift it up to be magbia a tefach. Okay. Let's see a little bit more about this. If you look over here, the kavachayim takes a different approach to lefties. Kav Chaim writes about lefties. He says, "Why does the Shulchan Aruch say Yesh Mishoimer about what hand the lefty holds it in?" He says, "The Fisha Beis Yosef Simin Tovish and Alav Kasev Shem Baal Iter, because Beis Yosef quotes the Baal Iter. The Davka Tfilin the Raisa Bimin. That the only time we lefty switches it up." That's only by tefillin because it says in the Torah. Avalulav the netilas and yamin the rabbanon eater huke chalada. Then an eater is like anyone else. The kasev shekenu dasa tovichem pasuk shochan aruch. After shochan aruch, now what? Shochan aruch was of the opinion that a lefty holds his lulav in his right hand. So he says ulechen kasev kanze b'shem yesh mishaimer. And that's what we wrote over here. Yesh misha oimish ikur kamosh sasam simitav rishon and alav gabel lulav. The ikur is like we said over there. To eat the areiku chalad and the kosher bracha and amit rabbanan kiyodua. And therefore, when it comes to making the bracha on a kosher bracha, he should also hold it in his right hand. V'chein mashma v'divri ha-zoyer. It's not like that in the zoyer. The akos roim is al b'chinas ha-malchus. Okay. And then he concludes at the end that he thinks that the accepted practice is not like we saw. That he thinks a lefty should hold the bracha in his right hand. We saw that the pashtus is, according to the Magen Avraham, that a lefty should hold the becher in his left hand. But he writes, al pi kabbalah, al pi zoyah, the lefty should hold the becher in his right hand. Okay? I guess when my son, right now my son makes kiddush, I tell him to make it in his left hand. Not al pi kabbalah like the kafachayim. But that I thought was more practiced is not al pi kabbalah, that he makes it, either a lefty would hold it in his left hand. And we mentioned before there's different ways to hold the becher. So if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan quotes two ways how to hold the becher. So he writes over here, he says, Shenochen shakos yamidenu al pisas hayad v'etzpoisi sevevel hakos kufos. Right? One way is you have it in your palm, and it's surrounded like this. V'lo yamidenu al etzpois, but it's not on your fingers. That's the shla. Mishnah Berurah quotes like this. That's one shita. That's the only shita that Mishnah Berurah quotes. It's interesting. Mishnah Berurah only quotes one shita. You're supposed to hold the becher like this. In your palm, with your fingers around the becher. You always see this when you go to a chasana. You always see when they give a guy the key, but he holds it like this. It's not only then. It's Friday night also. It's every time you get a kosher brach, you're supposed to hold it in your palm with your fingers around it. But the Aruch HaShulchan has a second approach. Some say no. You're supposed to dafka have it like this. These are the two ways to hold the becher. Again, I try to hold it like this because Mr. Brewer calls B'Shem the Shlo like this. But again, yesh both ways how to do it. Okay, what I really wanted to get to tonight, and I guess we'll have to be Mamshach Bli Neder next week, is the bigger controversy with Kiddush is to stand or to sit. The Friday night Kiddush, there's a little bit of a discussion, a dilemma, standing or sitting for the Friday night Kiddush. Now, these are the questions they have to put on the Shidduch resume. You know, does it come from a family where they sit or stand for Kiddush? These are the things that are going to make the world different. So let's see. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, let's see what it says in Shulchan Aruch. This is in Hilchos Kiddush, Siman Reish Ayin Aleph, says the Mechaber. V'yachulu me'oymet. You say, we all know, let's just remind ourselves, how does the Kiddush Friday night look? So the Kiddush Friday night looks with, we say Vayichulu, then we say Bar Priya Gafen, and then we have the Kiddush. We have the text of the Kiddush, Mikadesh Yisrael, and then we drink our wine. So it says the Mechaba like this, Vayichulu Me'umit. You gotta say Vayichulu standing. V'achakach Oime Bar Priya Gafen, then you say Bar Priya Gafen, V'achakach Kiddush. And then you make Kiddush. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us the first thing is Vayichulu has to be recited standing. Okay. He doesn't tell us when you sit down. He just says that you stand for Vayichulu, and then you say Bar Priya Gafen, and then you say Kiddush. Comes along the Ramah. V'yochol la'amid b'shas ha-Kiddush. Says the Ramah, you may stand during Kiddush, but v'yoyse tov le'yishuv, but it's better to sit. So the Ramah seems to be acknowledging that there's an option to stand, but the more correct version would be is to sit. V'noyigim le'yishuv af b'shosh oma v'yichulu. And the minig is, there are those that have a practice to sit even for Vayichulu. Rak, however, but they stand up when they start, they stand up a little bit to show honor to Hashem. Because we start off the Kiddush with that pasuk, which we'll have to talk more about the next week. How do we start off the Kiddush? We don't start off Vayichulu Hashemayim Baretz, we start off Vayer Vayevayki Yom HaShishi. So he says that people stand for. Okay. V'nirmas Hashem b'roshi atevus, and the yud, hey, vav, and hey is Hashem's name. So he's supposed to stand for that. Ukeshemaschel, when you start the kiddush, yitin ein of benir. Supposed to look at the Shabbos candles. Again, we'll have to get to this more b'lina the next week. Who has to look at the neighbors? You, the mekadesh, the whole family. Which has a kiddush b'koyshal brach, and during the kiddush you look at the koyshal brach. Again, who? You look at the koyish. The family looks at the koyish. We'll have to get to all that more next week. So what do we have so far? We have a mechaber that says that you say Vayichulu standing, and then you make the rest of the Kiddush. The Ramah seems to be pushing the narrative that it's better to sit for the entire Kiddush, and maybe even for Vayichulu. What's the issue? So let's see the Mishnah Berurah. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Va'oyme Vayichulu Mu'umet, Shu Eidos Al Briya Shemayim Va'aretz. What is Vayichulu? Vayichulu is the realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the entire world. Va'eidos Be'ina Mu'umet. And since it's the Eidos, every time witnesses testify, they always testify standing. I the Alf Pisha Amr Betfila. In fact, Mr. Bur, what are you talking about? You already said Vayichulu in Shul. You already said Vayichulu in Shemoneh Esrei. Chazu v'Amr k'dei l'hoitzi banu v'bnei bois. You're saying it again for the family. The family didn't go to Shul. Uberekeh evi b'shem ha-medesh etzorech lomim v'yichulu shalosh pamim. Then the rekeh quotes the medesh. He's supposed to say v'yichulu 3 times over Shabbos. Where the 3 times? Achas b'tfilo, shtol shman etzorei. V'yachal achat tfilo v'yichulu before we get to me'ein avos. V'yachar v'echor alakos. Because of achreinim dimshach achlomim v'yichulu b'shas kiddush oimu b'em tzesud alakos. You can always say it in the middle. Fine. So this is the idea of v'yichulu. V'yichulu is edus. Edus needs to be done standing. Fine. So after, it seems like everyone, again, it seems like the Mechaba was of the opinion that you got to stand for Vaychul. Now what happens afterwards? Says the Mishnah Berurah, the Yoyseh Tov L'Yeshiv. Now what's the perks of sitting? What's the perk of sitting for Kiddush? So we understand. You stand for Vaychul, that seems to be not argued about, even though we'll see others say not like that. Again, the Ramah sounds like you don't have to stand for Vaychul. But the Mechaba sounds like you're supposed to stand for Vaychul. Says the Mishnah Berurah, why is it better to sit? The Bechia gav the Mikri Tfei Kiddush B'makam Sudo. Says the Mishnah Berurah, it's more Kiddush in Makam Suda. Where am I eating? I'm eating at my table. I'm sitting at my table. So I should make Kiddush where I'm sitting, and therefore it's Kiddush in Makam Suda. Kivan sheyoshev in Makam Suda, so you ask Kiddush because I'm sitting where I'm eating my meal at the time of the Kiddush. V'chein hiskim bebi'a agro mitam acher. He said the Vilna Gaon was a big proponent of sitting for Kiddush, but for a different reason. What was his reason? The kivan sheechad paiti chaveiro. Since when I make Kiddush, I'm usually exempting someone else at the table. I'm making Kiddush for my wife and my kids. You need to have something that makes us all together. I'm making Kiddush for you, so we're all like one big unit. How do we become unified, says Mr. Brewer? By sitting down. That's how we become unified. So therefore, says Mr. Brewer, the perk of saying Kiddush sitting is not because of Kiddush B'makam Suda, but rather, it's because this is the way we are all considered together. So even the ones that are listening have to sit. Even that was only lechatchila. Everyone needs to be together. This is very important. Many homes, you have, let's say, for example, in my dining room, so my dining room opens up to the kitchen and opens up to the living room. So every once in a while, I have a kid that's sitting in the living room and playing. He can hear the kiddush. Or let's say, for example, your wife wants to finish up some stuff in the kitchen. She can hear. It's not right. Because since I'm being mighty, then we all have to be together. They're in another room. Everyone should be together in the same room at the time of Kiddush. Says the Mishnah Berurah, V'akoporim tzorech lizor sheyikvu ha'shoyim v'atzmam yachad beis ha'kiddush. K'dei lotzeis. V'shloi mufuzarim v'mufuradim. Everyone should be scattered. V'holchem echad achad heine v'achad heine. One's in the living room and one's in the kitchen. That's not right. T'zeh lo mikri kviyas klal. So this is an important halacha that people are not so careful with. Right, again, if you have a dining room that opens up into many different rooms, so you'll have a place where the wife says, what do you mean? I'm finishing up in the kitchen. I can hear you. It's not about hearing the kiddush. It's about me being mighty you. If I'm going to be mighty you, we need to have a kavis. We need to be established. The way we're established, we're all together in the same room. We're all one big unit. Now, Mr. Brewer is trying to explain, why does the Ramah feel that it's okay not to stand for Vayichul? The Chayra of Vayichul should have to be stood for because it's Eidus. How do you get around that? So Mishnah Berurah explains the Kivan Shomer Beis Knesses Mu'minei Makpidim Shuvalze. He says the reason why it's not such a big deal if I don't stand for Vayichul because I already said Vayichul is standing. He writes, "I'm a Ma'isim Yushuv K'mayim B'Shar Kish." It's not the end of the world now if I say it's sitting down because I was already Mekayim the real din of Vayichulu. My aides already did in Shul. Fine. Now I just want to mention number 31 is the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchas Avdalah that even if you stand for Kiddush, and this I've seen in many homes. Even if you stand for Kiddush, l'chera you should sit for the drinking of the cup. Mishnah Berurah writes in number 31, he's talking about Havdalah. So he writes, v'shtiyas ha'kois tiyeh b'yeshiva. When you drink the cup, it should be done sitting down. Te'ein shoysim u'umad l'chatchila. We don't stand and drink. So this is something that a lot of people, so if you sit for Kiddush, it's not relevant. But for those of us who stand for Kiddush, so then you just have to be careful that when you get to the drinking part, you sit down. So you finish Kiddush, you sit down, and then you drink. This way it's not you're not drinking and standing. And this is Karelitz makes an interesting observation. He says, what happens if, let's say, for example, you go to guests, or you have guests, and they have a different meaning than you. They stand and you sit and they stand. What should you do? So he says, you always have to follow the Baal HaBayis. He says, why? Imam Mekadosh, Eimid V'chulu, if he stands, Oisha Omad B'Shas HaKiddush, he stands for Kiddush, Ein Inyan Shah Shoyim Yeshu. It's not right that the listeners sit. Shakviyas Hudavka Shengam Mekadosh V'gam HaShoyim Yeshvim. He says, Kviyas means that the Mekadosh and the listeners are both sitting down. We got to be on the same notion over here. So if you're going to be standing, I should, you know, if you're going to be sitting, I should be sitting. We should be doing similar stuff. Now the Aruch HaShulchan over here discusses this shayla about stand or sit for kiddush, and he writes something interesting. He says, "Em tzrichim liyos kiddush me'omar miyoshev ena mevor lehedya loy b'gemar v'loy b'paiskim." Interesting. He says the shayla about the stand or sit for kiddush is not brought down in the Gemara. It's not even brought down in the paiskim. He says, "Umash madein k'peidim." No one really cares. Do what you want. He says, "I'll bring you a ray from a Rambam in Hilchos Sukkah." The Rambam says in Hilchos Sukkah, "Lehedya she'asu miyoshev." He's supposed to make kiddush sitting down. Because it says the belayla rishonah shel sukkis, when it comes to the first night of sukkis, tzarich lasus at kiddush me'umid. You have to make kiddush standing. Why? Kiddush leleishiv kaidim bechadesh b'sukkah. Because we don't want you sitting before you make leishiv b'sukkah. V'arayv v'hisagolov degam oz oisim yoshev. Harim mevur lehedjid shal yoisim yoshev. So first of all, our chashuk wants to bring a right from a Rambam that the Rambam always made kiddush sitting. Fine. Again, if I'm being mighty other people, it's always better to be sitting. And so why do so many chassidim stand? Right? I think almost all the chassidish circles stand Friday night kiddush. Why? Api Kabbalah. Because Api Kabbalah, you're supposed to stand. Chenoi Gariza. Okay, so now we already see why many Chassidish people dafka stand, because it's based on Kabbalah. He explains an interesting idea over here. He says, because the brachas shall hakala tzorech liyos mu'umid, b'shabbos ikri kala. K'moi sh'omer boi kala, boi kala. He says, the reason why we make the brachas standing is like the sheva brachas out of chuppah. Look at the Shabbat brachas that the chuppah is done standing. So these kiddush is like a bracha on the kala, the Shabbos malchus, and that's why we do it standing. But he writes at the end, the medina ink peidah doesn't really matter that much. He says, but v'rak v'yichulu l'divra ha'kurl nochon nasis mu'umid. He says the actual kiddush debatable, but v'yichulu that everyone has to stand for, which is interesting because I'll show you in a second over here that not everyone stood for v'yichulu. Now, how do you learn the Ramah? Let's go back to the Mechaber Ramah for a second. The Mechaber said that you say Vayichulu standing, then you say Bayi Priyagofen, and then you say Kiddush. Comes along the Ramah, V'yochol la'amayit b'shasa Kiddush. You can stand for Kiddush. What was he referring to? So if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan number 34, he writes, U'mishitches l'shoyne mashma, de'achar Vayichulu tzorech li'yeshiv. He understood the Ramah, the Aruch HaShulchan understood the Ramah, who understood the Mechaber, that what the Mechaber held was, is you stand for Vayichulu, and right after Vayichulu, you sit down. On that, the Ramah said, no, you don't have to do that. You can stand even after Vayichulu. But the Ramah understood the Mechaber, that the Mechaber held that after you finish Vayichulu, then you sit down. On that, the Ramah said, no, V'yachol l'amay b'shas ha-kiddush, you can stand for Kiddush. Weird, what does that mean? It means that after Vayichul, you don't have to sit down. But if you're Tov the Yeshiv, it's better to sit down. So that's what I do in my house. This minhag I saw when I was in Yeshiva, is I stand for Vayichulu, and then I sit down. Now this happens to make the most sense. Why? You stand for Vayichulu because we saw you have to stand for Vayichulu because Vayichulu is the Eidus. But then afterwards, there's no reason to stand. Again, I'll be Kabbalah. I'm not such a big Kabbalah guy, but I'll be the psak of the paiskim. It makes the most sense to sit. Why? Because you have kiddush makom suda and you have being mighty everyone else. So that's what I do. I stand for vayichulu and I sit for the rest of the kiddush. It's interesting. They quote over here from the Chafetz Chaim that hayim mekadosh is a kiddush kula biyeshiva. The Hitaka made the entire kiddush soup to nuts, even vayichulu he did sitting. And they quote over here from the Chazon Ish. Nogu lekadosh biyeshiva gam belel Shabbos me'aschos vayichulu k'minig agra. He was like the minhag of the Gra, that even Vayichulu was done by Yeshiva. Not like the Ramah who says, Shemaschilim Vayichulu Oimdim Ktsas. Mamish nothing. He sat the entire thing. I have not seen too many people do that, but there is such a practice like that. Okay. Now, Belina, the next.
There's no issue with the Chassid and Kala drinking the wine standing.
Since you said earlier, yeah, I guess there you have no choice. That's the only time they drink a Kaishal Bracha standing. It's a good point. I didn't think about it. Yeah, I guess there's no choice. Okay, so for Belina,
if you have to hold the toast in your palm, as you indicated before, he hasn't grasped it, by definition, you have to pick it up at a minimum with your left hand, right?
Right. That's okay.
Way of getting it, but the idea is, in other words, you should pick it up with both your left and your right. And
that's right. That's right.
And most people don't do that, is what you're saying.
Most people do not do that, right. No, most people do not do that. Okay, so Vavlina, the next week, I want to get to page 4, which we didn't get to. I want to start to talk about the recitation of Yom HaShishi Vayichul HaShemayim. And then we'll talk about Bli Nedr, how much wine you have to drink. And Mr. Shem, be our last shiur about some of the last inyanim, about them. Hopefully we'll also talk about which challah to cut and cutting the challah. Some of the basics that every Jew needs to know for making Kiddush and running the meal on Shabbos, on Friday night and Shabbos day. Okay, we'll leave it here for now. Bli Nedr, we'll do page 4 next week along with some other Marim Mekayimim. Have a wonderful week, everyone. Be safe, be well, take care.
Sure. Thank you.